I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. Well, I'm going to start this segment by saying I would not want to be a Boston police officer. It's long hours. There's a tedium to it. It's dangerous. People give you a lip. I wouldn't want to do it. But a lot of people do. And, a lot of people work hard to get into the police force, too. But what happens when those who are supposed to be serving and protecting us end up crossing the line and causing more damage or maybe roughing people up? Well, Edward Mason and Tom Mashburn took a year to look into how the Boston Police Department handles police misconduct, what's done with repeat offenders, and how much money is spent to settle the department's problem cases. And Ed Mason is here. They just wrote up their findings for Commonwealth Magazine, and I just read that article this morning. Welcome, Ed.
Well, thank you for having me, Emily.
What got you thinking about this?
Well, it's an interesting question. Thanks for having us having me on to talk about this important story that was in Commonwealth Magazine. Tom Mashburn and I know each other from the Boston Herald, mm-hmm. Where we worked together.
Right.
And what got us interested in this was we reported on a story involving David Williams. He was a Boston police officer who some listeners may know about from the book The Fence. He was implicated in a case of brutality against another Boston police officer in 1995. The officer's name was Michael Cox. And he was thrown off the police force, but he was let back on.
Michael Cox ended up dying, right?
No. Actually, he...
The chase. He was an African-American...
Yes. He was an African-American plainclothes officer.
That's it, yeah.
And he was mistaken for a murder suspect, and he was beaten within an inch of his life. And David Williams was one of the officers implicated. And Dick Lair wrote the book.
Right.
And I wrote the book about it called The Fence. In any event, David Williams was let back on the force. In 2009, he pops up again in an incident that happened in the North End where he made a rough arrest of someone, taking him to the ground, and the fellow claimed that he suffered brain damage. He sues the Boston Police Department, and simultaneously the Boston Police Department triggered perhaps by this lawsuit, tries to throw him off the force. Right now, the way this stands is he's been thrown off the force, and the fellow who suffered brain damage won $1.4 million. We got to wondering, so this guy gets disciplined, but what happens, to try to head off discipline cases? What do you do to prevent discipline? And that got us interested in the subject of intervention. Well, it just so happened that 2012 was the 20th anniversary of the St. Clair Commission report. And listeners...
That was commissioned by then-Mayor Ray Flynn.
It was launched in 1991, and the report came out in 1992, and the St. Clair Commission made about 30 recommendations, but it made two that had to do with police brutality. What it found was that there were about what it said was that there was a problem with a core of police officers who were responsible for a large number of complaints, and it also said that the police department had very bad technology for tracking these officers. And it was interesting to us to see what the police department was doing 20 years on. Was it living up to the spirit of the St. Clair Commission report? Just a little more background, the St. Clair Commission, for people who may be new to Boston or can't remember, the reason it was so important was it was triggered by a number of badly botched investigations and the idea that the police department wasn't taking civilian complaints seriously. And the case that probably most people remember or have an inkling about was the Carol DeMatey Stewart. Stewart case. Where a black man was fingered for this white woman's murder when really it was the husband who ended up committing suicide when he was found out. So these recommendations, one of them was that they come up with an early warning system. The Boston Police Department took that recommendation seriously. They created what was called an early intervention system, and that's what Tom and I wrote about.
Did the police do anything wrong in the Carol DeMitte Stewart case? I mean, they picked up somebody, but you know, there were a lot of fingers pointing, and was it an issue of brutality or over arrest or?
Well, the issue there was that the St. Clair Commission found that in their internal investigations, they weren't doing a thorough job of investigating. They weren't taking the complaints seriously, and that was something that the Boston Police Department needed to overhaul. That was something that
How did it relate to that case? I mean, was there a charge?
Well, there was an overall sense that people in the community were saying that Willie Bennett didn't do it, that they weren't doing a thorough investigation.
I see.
No one was ever held accountable for holding Willie Bennett in this case. So in any event, what we wanted to look at was what happened 20 years later, mm-hmm. with the early intervention system.
And not much is what you've discovered, that there really isn't one, because you have another anecdote involving this officer, Gerald Cofield, and he has had two incidents. Just tell us about what they were.
Hmm. Well, what we found was that the early intervention system worked quite well after it was launched in 1992, that as of 1997, in the first few years, they had 78 officers referred to it, and in a short period of time, only six officers were referred to it. And the way it worked was just to tell officers, and I want to get to Cofield, but just to tell people how it worked, was officers would be referred to it based on the number of complaints they had against them in a one-year period or after a two-year period. Two complaints in 1 year or three complaints in 2 years. So in any event, it worked for a short period of time, and then it started to fizzle, and then by 2005, it wasn't working at all. Well, during this time where it wasn't working, officers started to have repeat complaints, which was the problem that the St. Clair Commission warned about, that a small group of officers would be responsible for a large number of complaints. And enter Jerry Cofield. Cofield, in 2009, as we introduced the story, he pulls over a fellow named Christopher Knight. He pulls him over. What happened was there was a fender bender, and he can't get someone to exchange insurance information. He calls the cops. They send over Cofield. Cofield, according to Knight, is antagonistic from the very beginning. He slams his car door on Knight's leg.
Why would he have done that? I mean, why was he antagonistic towards a guy who's simply calling for a police officer to help him file an insurance report?
Don't know. This is from the complaint. But in any event, he slams the car door. Knight asks why. You know, he wants to know why, and pulls him out of the car, says, let's go, and throws him on the hood and arrests him and parades him in front of a crowd. Knight's girlfriend videotapes everything on his cell phone. And this ends up costing the city $35,000.
It's crazy. And then he surfaces again.
Well, what happened, the point we try to make is the police department had they taken the early intervention system seriously. Had they not let it collapse, this might not have happened. Mm-hmm. Because this event happened in 2009. At the end of 2004, Cofield is involved in an event in the B2 station where he roughs up someone named Lionel Rogers. This case settled for $101,000. Wow. The jury verdict is still being contested by the city. And he filed his complaint in early 2005. Had that, according to Knight's attorney, had that complaint been taken seriously in 2005 and he gotten intervention, perhaps mm-hmm. he gotten counseling, yeah. retraining, or increased supervision, what happened to Knight in 2009 wouldn't have happened.
So how much is this costing the city a year, would you guess, in these lawsuits, payouts? What's the bottom line?
Well, we don't know exactly how much it's cost the city per year, but we do know that
how come that isn't available?
It isn't available because the city won't tell us who, you know, which officers are in mm-hmm. the early intervention system or have been referred for counseling, retraining, or increased supervision. They consider it a personnel matter. We came up with these officers by putting together a database of officers based on civilian complaints that we got through a database. We put in public records requests for complaints during the period that the early intervention system shut down. We made up what we believed was a facsimile of the early intervention system based on what the police department told us was the criteria. Mm.
But isn't that a matter of public record? Why is that private information?
They say it is not public information because it is a personnel matter. Mm. They will not disclose the names.
Will they tell you how many they consider problem police officers?
That's a good question. They told us that during the time that the early intervention system shut down, there were 94 officers referred. What happened was
94 of how many?
Ed Davis shut down, rebooted the system in 2009 after discovering that it had been shut down. So he discovers it shut down in 2008. He'd been commissioner in 2006. He reboots it in 2009 and he refers 94 officers. Out of 163, he believes were eligible.
Hmm.
He won't give us the names of the officers that he believes were eligible. According to our facsimile, we believe that since he rebooted it, there were 23 officers who had a high number of complaints. Mm. We believe 15 of the 23 have gotten more complaints since the reboot.
Were you familiar with the story that appeared, I think, in the Boston Globe, I think it was Monday, about a settlement with a transgender person who claims that police, in the course of arresting him, her, you know, stripped him. You know, it was a revolting story. I mean, it was so revolting and it almost didn't ring true. But the city settled with him. The police department settled with the transgender
with her,
person.
Yes.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Were you familiar with that one?
I'm familiar with that story, yes.
Mm-hmm. And was that one of the ones that was in your findings?
I didn't see those officers' names in our top list, although that story is interesting in that they say they don't have a policy and they're drafting a policy for dealing with transgender people. What's interesting about that is the Boston Police Department does not have a written policy for its early intervention system. They only have one line on their website detailing that they have an early intervention system. We've asked repeatedly for their policy on an early intervention system. Now, in putting this story together, we talked with national experts about early intervention, and there are cities early intervention systems are considered to be good policy in police departments across the country. They have written policies for describing their early intervention systems, which are available on websites. The Boston Police Department does not have a written policy, which you would imagine would be something that the police who would be under that policy would want. And just to make one thing clear, we're not, Tom and I didn't do this story just to poke holes at the Boston Police Department. As you said in your opening, police officers have very difficult jobs. They're regular.
They deal with a lot of hostile people too.
Well, it's not just that. Just to be clear, they're regular folks, and experts tell us that intervention systems are meant to help officers. They're not about discipline.
Right.
Police officers have a hard time asking for help. And a large part of the story is about trying to explain a program that's not about discipline, mm-hmm. but about helping officers with their everyday problems.
I mean, I'm sure that's true in any big company. I mean, that most of them have services to help people, but actually going and asking for the help is it's hard for anybody, whether it's an emotional or financial or whatever it is. Seeking that out can be difficult.
Well, it can be difficult. You know, San Antonio has an early intervention system. They call it an officer concern program.
I was going to say, that's a terrible name, early intervention, because it makes it sound like you're on the verge that something's going to happen. So it's a terrible name. You wouldn't want to put yourself in a program that suggested that you've got a problem, and that title does.
I didn't come up with a name,
but that's
a good point. And I think San Antonio has a better name. They offer programs. You know how police officers get punished for working too many hours in Boston? In San Antonio, they offer financial counseling as part of their—
What do you mean they get punished?
There's a rule against working too many hours.
There is?
Yeah. Working more than 90 hours in a week. Huh. There's a rule against working too many hours. Hmm. So San Antonio offers, if you're working two jobs and you're showing up for work tired and it's affecting your ability to be on the job and you're getting complaints, you're mouthing off against people, they pull you aside and they say, do you need financial counseling? Hmm. So that's part of their program.
Hmm. How did the Boston police respond to you on this?
They say that their early intervention system is working. They say that they're happy with their reboot. They're proposing some changes that are currently stuck in union negotiations over the new contract. They also say that the early intervention system is not the be-all and end-all of their intervention system. And they also say that they're working to try to bring new computer systems on board to try to keep a closer watch on their troubled officers. I should note that some of the things they're trying to do are things that, such as being able to have a broader watch on what sort of things like car crashes and sick time abuse and so forth. By bringing different computer databases together are things that other police departments have been using for years.
Mm. But, I mean, did Ed Davis – first of all, did he cooperate with you? I know he didn't give you the names, but
The police department cooperated, but I should say it was part of the process that made the story lengthy. I mean, we did put in public records requests, and the public records requests did take a long time to fill.
Hmm. So, they believe at this point that they got this thing back on track.
How much does the
early intervention program cost the city anyway?
We were told that it does not have a budget.
That what?
We were told that it does not have a budget.
Oh. Well, it's got to have a budget. Because if more and more people started using it.
Well, that's what we were told. We were told that it does not have a budget.
Hmm. All right. I've been talking to Ed Mason, who was working with Tom Mashberg, both former Boston Herald reporters. Big piece in Commonwealth Magazine about police misconduct and what the police department does for police officers who have sort of a track record of maybe over arresting people or maybe even police brutality. And basically the findings are they don't do too much. So we'll see what happens. All right, Ed Mason, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Edgar, what do you got?
Emily, so we have a lot of listeners in Rhode Island, and we're going to spend the next 30-plus minutes of the show focusing in on Rhode Island. So in a little while, we're going to have the mayor of Providence. And before that, we've got Rhode Island's state poet. Did you even know they had a state poet?
Well, most states have a poet.
Well, Rhode Island has one, too.
I think we have one, too.
The fact that they're the smallest state in the union did not dissuade them from naming a state poet. So we'll talk with them.
Sounds good. I'm Emily Rooney.
I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is Boston Public Radio.